Singing. I like that song. Can you imagine a mansion waiting for any of us? Whew. You must be really good people. Oh, man, God's good. The more I read about him, the better he gets. The more I read about me, the better he gets. Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 13. Man, God's good. Whew. Man, God's good. Quit being upset. God's good. You're crazy. You must be crazy because God is that good. You don't know what I'm going through. God's that good. Whew. It's Nicole's birthday. God is good. She is 48 years old. Is she really? Is he telling me true? No, she's 21. And happy birthday, Nicole. Happy birthday. John chapter 13. Let's all stand together. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Let me read that one more time. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." What a good God we have. Brother Jack Dowler, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. I brought a portion of this to the college and career class on Wednesday. Just trying to think about how good God really is. And I'm telling you, I don't know what has happened, but even throughout the bad things that have happened in our lives and the bad things that are going on in yours, the more I learn about him, the better he becomes. Even through those bad times, everybody has them. Don't look around the room and think you're the only one going through what you're going through. There's other folks that are going through it too. Now, that does not minimize your problem. And let me tell you something right now. And I know I've said this quite often. You may not think the problem that somebody else is going through is a big problem. But Christian, they do. And if they do, then we ought to care about it. Amen? Don't minimize somebody else's problem just because you don't think it's big, because everybody's problems are big to them. And sometimes we as Christians say, God will take care of that. Well, how do you know that? Because God took care of it for me. Well, why don't you tell him that? Amen? Because when you were going through that problem and God took care of it for you, it was big when it was coming to you. But we look at these verses and we talk about how wonderful Jesus Christ is. And I want to read to you, give you the setting here for a moment. And then I want to just think with you. And I've preached on this before, and you've probably heard a lot of people preach on this before. But I want you to see this. In supper, verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" I want you to remember the first verse here. When we get all done with this, we're going to read that first verse one more time. Because everything in the Bible goes together for a purpose. It just didn't happen to, there's that verse. Everything's in the Bible for a purpose. "He loved them unto the end" is what I want you to remember. Now look at this. "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you? Ye callest me master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, I want to draw your attention again to the first verse. And then I'm going to run a few things by you. Now, you have heard these things before. The verse again, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. Well, we know what that is, right? He's about to be crucified. That's what he came for. He knew that's what was going to happen. Did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? See, he knew what was coming. That puts a little bit more grip on this verse, doesn't it? He knew that his hour would come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We've gone over these verses before, talking about the washing of the feet. Whole religions have been built on this, by the way. Not right, but whole religions have been built on foot washing. If your feet don't get washed, then you can't be a child of God. That's not what the Lord's talking about here at all. The Lord wants you to get saved. That's it. He wants you to get saved, and he does all the cleaning, starting from the inside working out, not starting from the outside working in. What he was trying to show his disciples there was a very beautiful picture, a beautiful picture of him putting on a linen cloth, putting on a towel that he could wash the feet of the disciple. Now, understand, they didn't have Nikes back then. They had sandals. Feet were dirty. Some of you have dirty feet even inside your shoes. I'll tell you that right now. I can tell when women take their shoes off, if you know what I mean. He takes this towel, this pristine towel, this beautiful towel, and goes around to all the disciples. And he gets down on a knee. And he washes their feet and shows them he's not just Lord and Master. He's also a servant. If you want to have a good preacher, and you do, he will be the greatest servant in the room. And he is. And I'm going to tell you right now, as I look at these verses, and I came to picture who was seated there. Jesus is getting ready to be offered. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. Jesus is getting ready to have a beating that is going to be bigger and worse than any man had ever done. Go back in Isaiah. You know God wrote the Bible, right? I think he knew what Isaiah meant. Amen. This beating, this beard plucking, this spit upon, this furrows in his back. He knew whose back that was. I've had people tell me, you know, that made it easier. Because he knew that he would come out of it in the end. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I know that I'm going to make it through the dentist appointment. But I still hate that man. Say what you want. I'm a little child when I go into that dentist's office. I let the dentist know right away, you better numb me with every bit of Novocaine you got, because if I feel it, you're gonna. How do they expect you to answer when you've got your mouth wide open? Do you feel that? Aha. Uh-huh. I just go ahead and pinch them or something. They're going to strap me down. I can't stand that. Jesus knew that he was getting ready to be offered. Can I show you what he says here? I want you to think with me. Who's in the room? First of all, you've got the great denier. And by the way, he hadn't done this yet. But do you understand that Jesus knew what was coming? See, Peter comes to him and says, Lord, I'll die with you. And Jesus says, let me tell you something right now. Before the cock crow, you're going to deny me three times. This hasn't happened yet, but do you think that Jesus didn't know it was coming? So understand this. There he is, the great denier. And he's questioning God.
Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. No way.
Jesus says, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. Well, then take everything. Peter, the great denier, sits there. And Jesus, let me tell you, in the first verse it says, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end, even though he knew that Peter was going to eventually deny him. He knew eventually that Peter was going to curse his name. By the way, can I help you? It's not right to curse. Just a thought process. I'm just wondering if you knew that. You're probably cursing in your head right now. Shut up. But I'm going to tell you, there's Peter, this denier, this one that was going to deny the very Christ that he has fought for and bled for. That very man is going to deny Christ. And there's Christ taking that towel and taking Peter's feet, the great denier, and washing them. He loved them unto the end. Who's in that room? Who's in the room with him? Is Thomas there? They knew. He knew that Thomas was definitely going to doubt him. Thomas, I'm not going to believe it until I see it. I'm not going to believe it until I put my hand in his side and my finger in the prints of it. I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it. So there's the doubter. You had the denier, you've got the doubter. And there's Thomas sitting there on his chair, holding his feet out to the Lord, the very Lord that he's going to doubt. Aren't you glad that when you doubt Christ, he still loves you to the end? I draw your attention back to the first verse because he's dealing with a group of people that may not have loved him to the end, but he loved them to the end. He's dealing with the denier. He's dealing with the doubter. I'm telling you right now, as he goes around the room, there's not one person in the room that deserves to have him kneel to them. I want you to notice the position of Christ. Christ should have had the position of being above. Say amen to me. And there's Christ showing us as Christians how we ought to act. Taking his own clothes. He didn't ask to borrow Brother Mike's clothes. Here, I'm going to use your shirt to wash these feet. He took his. I'm going to tell you right now, as I look at Jesus Christ and I see this first verse and I realize who's there. The deserters are there. The sons of thunder. The ones that had the mama. Would you ask Jesus if you could sit on his right hand when you get to heaven? Would you ask him that? Jesus says, that's not mine to give. So you got to understand something. These very men that thought that they were great, that thought that they were awesome, desert him. By the way, it hadn't happened yet. But do you think that Jesus didn't know? See, that's why I've got to ask you a question. When it says he loved them unto the end, Christian, what was the end? Help me now. What was the end? See, you've got to understand something. He knew what was going to happen from that moment all the way to his crucifixion, to his ascension, to his sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. He knew what was coming. And there he is coming to the sons of thunder and washing the feet of the very ones that just a little while longer are going to be on a boat. With a naked Peter fishing, not serving God, not believing in him. And there he is, washing their feet. He could have said, I would wash your feet, but you're going to desert me. I would wash your feet, but you're not my servant. You don't love me. I love you, but you don't love me. He could have said no. Christian, I have to ask you a question. Is there times when we doubt him? Help me now. Is there times when we desert him? Is there times when we deny him? And there's Christ willing. Not only willing, he loved it. Willing to take the disciples' feet and wash them, taking their sin and their dirt and their filth and their dust on his own garment, his own white garment, loving them until the end. Oh, now we can take that as the earthly sense. But to be real honest with you, is there truly an end with Christ? Oh, he has every right as Christ to make it an end. I've loved you enough. He has every right. Does he have every right to pick and choose whose feet he washes and who he has every right? I mean, he's Christ. Your feet are too stinky. I'm not going to wash you. He has every right. But there he is in the room going around from person to person to person, washing their feet. I want you to think about another person, though. Verse 10 says, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. I find great joy in the fact that even though he had deniers and doubters and deserters, he cleaned them all. But look at this. Ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. After he had washed their feet. Now, wait a minute. Who else was in the room? Who else was in the room? Oh, it's easy preaching to go ahead and line up all the associate pastors and all the deacons and all your preachers. It's easy to line them all up here and wash their feet, and we can find faults in everyone. We can find fault in every man that we love so much, and every person that we put up here. We can find fault and say, well, this person did this, and this person did that, and here I am serving them and washing their feet. We can say that, and we can say we love them to the end. But there's one in the room that's not clean. There's one in the room that's not going to be clean. There's one in the room that he knows that beyond a shadow of a doubt, at the end of his time, that man will still not be clean. Jesus knows what's coming. He knows who's meeting him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows who's coming with a group of people. He knows who sold him out for 30 shekels of silver. Even prophesied about it in the Old Testament. He knew who that man was. There that man sits in the row of people. You are clean, but not all. Can you imagine? As Jesus comes in front of the betrayer. Have you ever seen this before? Have you ever seen the very man that could save him? The very man that loves him? The very man that is going to die for him on a knee in front of the very man that was going to betray him and taking his foot and washing his foot. And I hearken back to the first verse. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Now, I understand that Judas wasn't one of his. Matter of fact, the Bible's very plain about that. So, does that make it better, or does that make it worse? Here he is, Caleb. He's not his. I want you to listen to me today, Christian, because I want you to think a little bit differently about whose feet you would wash. Because there's Jesus Christ. He's not one of his. He's not a saved person. He's not somebody that loves God. He walked with, heck, Jesus knew every single thing that Judas was going to do. It's amazing to me that Jesus Christ let him have the bag. Jesus Christ allowed that thief to be treasurer. He could have said, you're not coming. He could have said, you're not going to be there. And I understand that Judas had his life all mapped out and Jesus Christ knew it. But you didn't know it, and neither did the rest of the guys know it. We act as though because we are such great and bona fide Christians that we can pick and choose who feet we would wash. Jesus Christ picked and chose. Jesus Christ did it. He chose them all. He chose, I'll even wash his feet. Let me tell you something right now. Judas Iscariot, when he shows up in the Garden of Gethsemane, he showed up in the Garden of Gethsemane with washed feet. Soak that in for a moment. Soak it in for a moment that he had the Creator of the whole world bowing before him to wash his feet. Isn't God good? Isn't God good that he will stand and kneel in front of the betrayer and let the betrayer feel the towel that was girt about his loins. Feel the water that was poured out of the basin. Feel that compassion that Jesus Christ had, even for him. The man that went into his own place, the man that Satan entered into twice, only man that Satan ever entered into in all the scripture is Judas, and he did it twice. It's amazing to me that Jesus knows these things. He knows them. He knows them. He knows them. And there he is, kneeling at the front of this man, washing his feet. It gives me great hope and great joy to know that Jesus Christ, no matter how bad I get, no matter what I've done, no matter the things that I end up doing, he's going to end up being there, willing to wash my feet.
Amen.
I liken that to this world too. Because I'm going to be honest with you, under the sound of my voice, I guarantee you there's doubters. I guarantee you, under the sound of my voice, there are doubters. Let me tell you something. Christ will not be doubted. He is perfect, wonderful, powerful, and he loves you unto the end. He died for you, offers himself for you as an atonement for your sins. Are you kidding me? There he is in this room full of people, knowing their future, knowing what they're going to do, and he still shows them the compassion of a servant. He shows you that compassion too. You deserters. Oh, I could go over a list of people that have checked out on God. They've checked out on him because things didn't go their way. I've heard millions of, I'd come to church, but I had a problem with the pastor. Let me tell you something, he had a problem with you too. I get sick and tired of that, I really do. I get sick and tired of hearing people tear up my preacher. I get sick of it. You're worthless is what you are. Oh, don't say that. Let me tell you something. Your preacher loves you more than anybody else I've ever seen. And let me tell you, we're unlovely. There's not one person in this room that if the preacher would line you up in a chair that he wouldn't wash your feet as well, whether you're a doubter, whether you're a deserter, whether you're a betrayer. You may not like this preaching. Sorry. You came. And what's amazing to me is the very man that showed this love to you throughout all the time he was with them. Come on now, stay with me. Oh, you see it, don't you? You're starting to get a hold of it. The time that Jesus was with them, he never called Judas out. Did he? Did he tell anybody in the whole place that Judas was a thief? Did he point out, he is the one that's going to betray me? Did he ever point it out? Oh, I love the fact that even though the preacher has doubters, even though the preacher has deserters, even though the preacher has deniers, even though the preacher has people that betray him, he never points them out. God love him. Oh, this is horrible preaching. I should have never showed up. Well, don't worry. Jesus will call you out. I love the picture here of not just a wonder. He gave. Why did he do this? Read what the Bible says again. Can we just read what the Bible says? Look this now. If I then, your Lord and Master, was he not their Lord and Master? If I then, your Lord and Master, and by the way, he was Judas's Lord and Master too, but Judas didn't accept that. Amen? You say, well, I've betrayed. Let me tell you something. Jesus still wants to be your Lord and Master. He desperately wants to. You just won't allow him. So you've got to allow Jesus Christ. Allow him. I like what Peter said. Oh, you may not agree with him, but not wash my feet. He did that because he didn't want his Lord to wash his nasty feet. We as Christians think, oh, yeah, God, here, you know, it's my foot, God. I mean, come on, of course you're going to wash my feet. Peter's coming to the realization he's got dirty feet. And by the way, so do you. And he says that to him, and he's, oh, then the Lord says, listen, Peter, if you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. And Peter says, well, you better take everything then. Somebody help me this morning. I'm going to tell you right now, you better come to a place in your life where you realize he better get every part. You better come to a place in your life where Jesus Christ has done enough to merit your service. He's done enough. He stood in the room with his doubters. He stood in the room with his deniers. He stood in the room with his deserters. He stood in the room with his betrayers. And every one of them didn't deserve to get what he gave, but boy, he sure did give it. And the whole time that he was with them, knowing Oh, this is so good. See, Jesus knew all this stuff. Oh, man, I can't even imagine. At 30 years old and something, he goes and is baptized by John the Baptist. Not John the Presbyterian, not John the Mormon, not John the Catholic. John the Baptist, not John the Baptizer. Don't you try to get all transitional on me. It was John the Baptist because that's what it's supposed to be. And I'm proud to be one. I'm not a big B, I'm a big all of them. Red, underline, italics, whatever you got, I'm a Baptist. I love it. We're not going to be the only ones there in heaven. We're not. Baptists are not going to be the only ones in heaven, but we are going to be the ones that know how to use it. What's that mean? We're not going to sit in a pew like this. I got to believe that when I get to heaven and see my shed, I'm going to go, what? I'm going to forget about all the times I failed him. Glory to God. You say, well, I thought we all got mansions. No, the Bible says many mansions. I don't think I deserve one of those. I'll just take a shed, thank you. See, here's what's amazing to me. We live this life of doldrums. We live this life of doubt. We live this life of betrayal. We live all these things and think, oh, man, there's no way. I'm going to tell you, Christ loves you today. And there's Peter. Boy, you better have all of me, God. I would to God that he would get all of us. I'm talking apart from everything else. Everything, even your own agenda. Even your own thoughts. Even I'm telling you, let God have you. Because you're coming to him needing a cleaning. I want you to notice that now. Needing a cleaning. That's how you're coming. And he'll do it, but you got to let him do it. Oh, you can't clean my feet. Why? They're too dirty. See, our problem is we think they're too clean. I'm going to tell you, after I get done preaching, my feet will not be clean. And it says this. Call ye master and lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your lord and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I know you can get crazy with religion here and think, well, we better start washing feet or we're not good people. It's an example to let people know that you better be willing to serve them. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Now wait a minute. He didn't wash the feet of the godly preacher of 60 years. He didn't wash the feet of the wonderful choir member that never misses a practice. He didn't wash the feet of the undeniable deacon that never, ever does anything wrong. Jesus washed the feet of the doubter. Jesus held the foot of the ones that were going to desert him. Jesus washed the foot of the man that would deny him. That leads me to believe that we ought to be willing to serve all. Not just to serve them, though. Because again, I've got to revert back to the very first verse. Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. You know, our problem as people, and I'm one of them, I'm a people, I pick and choose who I give my love to. I know I'm the only one in this room. I get that. I understand that. Let me tell you about me, and then you guys can go away and hate me later. I pick and choose who I love, and it's because of my flesh. It really is. You pick and choose who you love, too. You do. You say what you want to say, but it's the truth. You know what? And what happens is this. Jesus Christ has the ability to love no matter what. We have to really, really fight to use his ability. We have no ability of our own to love without question. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. Okay, so you do not have the ability to say, oh, I love Michael even though he's a jerk face sometimes. You don't have that, okay? And I'm not saying that about him, although he's an easy target because he sits up here all the time. You don't have that ability. So you've got to rely on Jesus Christ. You've got to rely on Jesus Christ because, listen, the first time that Jesus said, hey, there's a betrayer among you, they all said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? They were wanting to find out who it was. Why? So they can, oh, you're the betrayer. See, we can't wait to do that as Christians, but I'm going to be honest with you. And let me tell you, sometimes you've got to let the Bible judge folks that are out of line. Say amen to me. It's not your judgment. Mitchell, you don't have the ability in and of yourself to say, well, I'm right and you're wrong, even though, boy, you like to think you've got that ability. And I'm just picking on you, son. But understand this, that ability to judge the people is not settled with you. It's settled in there. See, the Bible does not tell us to just, oh, let people do whatever they want to do. That's foolishness. That's not what the Bible says at all. The Bible gives us rules, gives us the law, gives us the things that we need to know that those things can't go on here. That's why you don't put a thief in charge of the offering plates. The Bible says to forgive. Yeah, but don't be for stupid. Oh, he's a bank robber. We love him. He got saved. Praise the Lord. Take up the offering and you'll watch him run out the back. It doesn't tell us to be stupid. It tells us to love one another. And see, sometimes we take that love and say, well, love means love covereth the multitude of sins and we should let them do whatever. That is foolish talk as well. See, love doth cover the multitude of sin. His love covers the multitude of sin. We've got to come to the understanding that, listen, you can get right. And we may have to forgive you over and over and over and over and over and over because that's what you have to do as a Christian. You have to forgive people more than once. And I know, hey, whatever, I'm going to take the time. The teaching of forgive and forget, I've heard that 8 million times, even in this church, is stupid. What? We should not be forgive and forget. Oh, Paul! Even Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. I pressed on. It says forgetting. That means he's trying to. He's in the process of. To say that you can forgive somebody and forget the thing that they've done, you are so full of yourself. See, the Bible says, how many times, Lord, should I forgive this person? 7 times? Because I'm really good and wonderful? He says, no, 70 times 7. Oh, boy. Why does it teach that? Wait a minute. Annie, if you could forgive and forget, you could only do it one time. Oh, somebody say amen. If you know it. You know I'm right. If you could forgive and forget one time, all done. The Lord would have said right there, no, just one time and forget it. One time and forget it. One time and forget it. That's it. There's no 7 times. One time and forget it. Come on, be a Christian. Be a man. Forgive and forget. Dumb. And you will live your life in turmoil. Why can't I forget what that person did to me? Because God doesn't want you to forget. God wants you to forgive. He wants you to forgive over and over and over and over. And eventually you find your way to the throne of grace and ask him to forgive you. And by the way, how many times have you needed to be forgiven from God for the same thing? Tell me I'm wrong. I know. I'm the only one that suffers from the same dart all the time. The devil sees it. Funk! Oh, come on! You don't want him to, but I've got a chink in my armor about this big, and the devil's a good aim. And he shoots at me constantly, and I constantly have to ask God, oh God, please forgive me. God says, I'll do it. Have a seat. Let me wash your feet. I'll do it. Even to you who doubt him, he'll wash your feet. Even to you who will desert him. And I'm going to tell you, you will think in your head of people that aren't in this church anymore. That's who you think is a deserter, right? It's the first person that comes to your mind. Oh, bless God, yeah, I can think of him. I'm still here, though. Phew, I'm a good person. Yeah, I've been here for a lot of years. That makes me Christian of the century. I'm not talking about the people who have deserted the church. That's not who I'm talking about at all. How about the people who deserted for a moment? Who deserted from doing soul winning? But by the grace of God, there go I. How many times have I gone there? I use myself as an example because I know everyone else in here has never had these problems. But I know this. Listen to me, and you need to hear this. Jesus desperately wants to wash your feet. He wants to show you how good He is. He wants to show you how wonderful. And even if you are a doubter, even if you are a deserter, even if you are a denier, even if you are a betrayer, He wants to wash your feet. He has a desire to love you until the end. Whether that be here or trying to find the end of eternity, He's going to love you over and over, no matter who you are. That's why losing your salvation doesn't work. That's why falling out of God's grace doesn't work. That's why working your way to heaven doesn't work. Because God loves you to the end. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, I'm looking at the room of people displayed in these verses, and I don't see one that deserves to have the Savior of the whole world kneel in front of them and wash their feet. Not one. As I look out on this room, I don't see one that deserves the grace or mercy that God's given you. And yet there you are, sitting in that chair with your feet up and God loving you. What a good God we have. What a good God we have. The things of this earth will go strangely dim. It's amazing to me how wonderful God is. It's amazing. Oh, He could have kicked Judas out. Come on, you would have. I'm telling you right now, I'm glad. I'm glad, 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 glad that I don't know the people that betray me. Because I'm fleshly, buddy. Oh, you're fleshly? Let's have a revote. Too late. If you knew the people that sacked out on you, I guarantee you, you'd feel that fleshly tone towards them. You'd feel that despise and that anger and that hatred. You'd feel that. The ones that doubt to who you are and doubt the things that you've done for God. I love them. That's the greatest thing. Somebody does something good, and you'll see this as you grow older. We get stupid as we get to be adulthood, okay? You're really stupid now, but wait till you get to be an adult, you'll be stupid then too. But understand this. As adults, we look for a motive. Why did that person do that? Wow. Well, the only reason they showed up for prayer so people could see them. Maybe. Why are you there? Why are you there? Huh? Hey, listen. Judas was just about, he may have been, oh, think about this. This will grip you. I don't know or not, but listen to this. The chains jingling in Judas's pocket could have been 30 shekels of silver as he's given his foot to Christ. Tell me I'm wrong. And there I am thinking about, oh my goodness, the times that I have turned my back on Christ and denied Him and been doubtful of Him and all those things. And there's my foot, chains jingling in my pocket, Christ ready to wash that baby. And you say that we don't have a good God. As I look around the room, I know that I know that I know that we've got people going through struggles. We got people going through trials. And we got people going through things that they can't even imagine. And there's Jesus with the towel. Let me help you. But you doubt Him. Oh, Christ can't do it. Yet He's still there. Oh, He won't turn His back on you. He won't take the towel off and say, I'm done with you. You know why? Because He loves you until the end. Boy, we have a good God. Boy, we have a good God. I said, boy, we have a good God. I said, boy, we have a good God. I said, woohoo, we have a good God. Those of you who are sleeping are now awake. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, you walk through this earth and you think for one moment that you've got a God that doesn't love you, you better think again, because the Bible says He loves you until the end. What's wonderful? With God, there is none. So He's going to just have to love you forever, I guess. See, we live in this day and age where we think we've got to be good to be in this chair. Or that somebody else is not good enough to be in that chair. That's not what God said. God didn't go around and pick only the good people. Huh? God could have filled the chairs with whoever. He knew who was going to be in the chairs, which to me is staggering. And even knowing, He didn't say, Judas, you're going to have to get out. He didn't say, Thomas, I'm going to have to excuse you. He didn't say, Peter, you're going to deny me, so I'm going to deny you. He didn't say, sons of thunder, you're not as cracked up as you thought you were. You're going to have to leave. Because at the end of the day, Bethel Baptist Church, if He chose the ones that were worthy, the room would only have Him in it. Aren't you glad that you've got unclean feet? Aren't you glad that you've got a Savior that does not look at you and say, you can't be clean? Even Judas could have been clean. Even Judas could have repented. Even Judas. Satan is not as great as God. Oh, well, you could give me the Pharisaical attitude. With Jesus Christ needed Judas for that duty. Trust me, there's enough folks out there that would have done it. And Jesus knew. Oh, He knew. I mean, He knew. His is all foreordained. I know God knew. I didn't know, but God knew. And yet He still showed up over there and washed Judas's feet. Only later to have those clean feet betray Him. And yet He's still cleaning. Oh, now Judas wasn't clean. His feet were. But he wasn't clean. Aren't you glad, Christian, that you're clean even though you have dirty feet? Judas has clean feet, but he's dirty. You have got dirty feet, but you're clean. Boy, God's good. I said, boy, God's good. What's wonderful? What's wonderful is that God loved everyone and He loved them to the end. And God loves every one of you, no matter who you are. He loves you and He's going to love you until the end. What a great God we have. Dear Jesus, I thank You so much. I thank You so much for this wonderful morning. Oh, God, so often we doubt You. Oh, God, so often we deny You. Oh, God, so often we desert You. And sometimes, Lord, if we're honest, we betray You. Lord God, please help us to realize that we're never out of the reach of Your love. We're never out of the reach of Your care. We're never out of the reach of hope, mercy, grace. We're never out of the reach of any of those things. Lord, please continue to forgive us. Show us Your mercy. Oh, God, please help us. Help us to realize that even though we have dirty feet, we've got a Savior that cleaned the inside, and it'll never be dirty again. Lord, I thank You for the place that You've gone and prepared for me. But Lord, I thank You for the place right down here that You've prepared in me. Lord, help me to be a better servant for You. Help me to be a foot washer. Help me to not look on the person on the outside. Help me to look on the person on the inside. And help me to realize, Lord, that I'm just like them. But by your grace, there go I. Maybe by your grace, there I have been. Lord, I know we ought not to do the wrong things that we do. But if we do, you're always there with that towel to clean us every whit. Thank you, God. Thank you for being a wonderful, wonderful God. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around.